Chapter 9. Great Waterways Shape Nations. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. From Selected Poems by Langston Hughes, 1926. Lesson 1. Focus. Why do large cities and industries often develop along waterways? Main idea. Read to find out why large cities and industries have grown up along the Great Lakes. Vocabulary. Capital resource. Factors of production. Mass production. Assembly line. Along the Great Lakes. Few places in the world have as many navigable rivers and lakes as the Middle West region of the United States. Many large cities and industries have grown up along those waterways. The waterways offer transportation routes for the region's natural resources and products. They have helped the Middle West become a leading center of manufacturing. Great Lakes Ports. Thousands of years ago, a giant glacier pushed south over the middle part of North America. It flattened hills and filled in valleys with rich soil. The weight of the glacier also formed 5 huge holes in the ground. As the glacier melted, water filled in the holes and formed the Great Lakes. 4 of these lakes, Erie, Huron, Michigan, and Superior, border on states in the Middle West. Many streams and rivers flow into the Great Lakes. Long ago, ports were built at the mouths of some of the larger rivers. Over time, many of those ports became large cities. On Lake Erie are Cleveland and Toledo, both in Ohio. On Lake Michigan are Gary, Indiana, Chicago, Illinois, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Duluth, Minnesota is a large port on Lake Superior. The Great Lakes make up one of the most important inland waterways in North America. Some Great Lakes ports lie more than 1,000 miles, 1,609 kilometers, from the Atlantic Ocean. But ships from these ports can reach the Atlantic through the St. Lawrence Seaway or the New York State Barge Canal. Small ships traveling to and from the Great Lakes have another way of reaching the ocean. A canal called the Illinois Waterway links Lake Michigan and the Illinois River, which flows into the Mississippi River. Using the Illinois Waterway, ships can carry goods between ports on the Great Lakes and ports on the Gulf of Mexico. Review. Which 2 waterways link the Mississippi River and Lake Michigan? Centers of Industry. The transportation routes provided by the Great Lakes have brought many industries to cities along their shores. The region has become one of the largest industrial areas of the United States. Factories in cities along the Great Lakes manufacture all kinds of products. Some of them process foods from corn and mill flour from wheat. Ships on the Great Lakes carry corn, wheat, and other grains from farms in the Middle West to food processing plants and flour mills in cities along the lakes. Places near the Great Lakes have many natural resources, such as coal and iron ore. Those resources first brought many industries to cities along the lakes. One of those industries was steel production. As you know, the steel industry started in western Pennsylvania. However, large deposits of iron ore were later discovered west of Lake Superior. The largest deposits were in Minnesota's Mesabi Range. To be nearer to those resources, the steel industry spread to cities along the Great Lakes. Ships carried iron ore from the Mesabi Range to steel mills in such cities as Chicago and Cleveland. Coal and limestone, 2 other resources needed to make steel, came from Illinois, Indiana, and other nearby states. Those resources were taken to the mills on railroad cars. Review. What brought many industries to cities along the Great Lakes? Industries need many resources. In 1905, a large company was looking for a place to build a new steel mill. The company wanted to build its mill on the shore of Lake Michigan, close to Chicago. There, the mill would be near important waterways and railroads. To manufacture steel or any other product, a business uses 3 different kinds of resources. It must have natural resources, such as water, minerals, and fuel. It must have human resources, or workers. It must also have capital resources. Capital resources are the money, buildings, machines, and tools needed to run a business. Before deciding where to build the new mill, the company had to think about all the factors of production. The factors of production are the natural, human, and capital resources that a business needs to produce goods or services. The place the company chose for its new steel mill was in northwest Indiana. The land was near natural resources, but there were no workers because there was no city. So the company built the city of Gary. Many people moved to Gary to find jobs in the new mill. As in Pittsburgh, steel mills in Gary and in other cities along the Great Lakes no longer make as much steel as they once did. However, making steel is still an important industry in many places near the Great Lakes. Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, and Illinois are all important steel-producing states. Review. What three kinds of resources does a business need to manufacture products? Industries connect. Sometimes one industry helps other industries grow in the same area. That happened with the automobile and steel industries. The steel mills along the Great Lakes supplied automobile makers with the steel they needed. Detroit, Michigan became the center of the automobile industry, the automobile capital of the world. One reason for this was Detroit's location on the Detroit River. All ships sailing between Lake Huron and Lake Erie must use this river. The Detroit River connects Lake Erie with a smaller lake called Lake St. Clair. Another river connects Lake St. Clair with Lake Huron. The rivers and lakes made it easy to ship steel and other products to Detroit. Today, the Detroit River is one of the busiest waterways in the United States, and the Detroit area produces more automobiles than anywhere else in the United States. The automobile industry grew rapidly. Factories began to use mass production to manufacture cars. In mass production, many goods that are alike can be made quickly and cheaply. Machines help with the work. Products made by mass production are the same. For example, cars of the same model and year look the same except for color. Their parts are the same too. The parts from one car will fit on another car of the same model and year. Mass production made the assembly line possible. An assembly line is a line of workers along which a product moves as it is put together one step at a time. In most automobile assembly plants today, a computer-controlled assembly line moves an unfinished car past workers and machines. Each worker or machine does a special job or adds certain parts to each car. Like cars, most manufactured goods today are made on assembly lines. Review. What made the assembly line possible? Biography. Henry Ford, 1863 to 1947. Henry Ford wanted to build automobiles that large numbers of people could afford to buy. Instead of making cars one at a time, as had been done, Ford used an assembly line to produce automobiles faster and cheaper. Ford sold millions of his Model T cars, which people called the Tin Lizzie. Workers on Ford's assembly line could build a Model T in less than 2 hours. Soon, as Ford had dreamed, many people owned their own cars. Lesson 1 Review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. How are the Great Lakes important to transportation? 2. Recall the main idea. Why did many large cities and industries grow up along the Great Lakes? Think critically. 3. Think more about it. How has mass production helped make more products available to people? 4. Cause and effect. What caused the Great Lakes to form? Show what you know. Map activity. Draw a map showing the 4 Great Lakes that border on states in the Middle West. Label the lakes and the states that border on them. Label the Mesabi Range in Minnesota. Then label these cities: Duluth, Gary, Detroit, and Cleveland. Use one color to trace the route that a ship might follow between Duluth and Gary. Then use different colors to trace routes between Duluth and Detroit and between Duluth and Cleveland. Lesson 2. Focus. How do rivers help connect people and places? Main idea. As you read, look for ways the Mississippi River system has been used as a transportation and trade route. Vocabulary. Shaman. Migration. Flatboat. Barge. River transportation. Rivers have always been important to travel and trade. Long ago, American Indians traveled on rivers in canoes to trade goods. Colonists from Europe later used the same rivers to travel inland from their first settlements. Today, people still use rivers as trade routes between different parts of the United States. The Mississippi River System. There is a story about the ancestors of the Choctaw and Chickasaw Indians. Long ago, it is said, their ancestors camped along the Mississippi River. Their shaman, or spiritual leader, said, "No man can know the story of the river. It belongs to the time when there were no men upon the earth. Therefore do I give it the name of Misha Sipokni, beyond the ages, the father of all its kind." No one knows if this legend is true. Still, father of all to describe the mighty Mississippi River. It is North America's largest river. In fact, the Mississippi is so large that a raindrop falling into the river at its source will not reach the Gulf of Mexico for 60 days. Like the Great Lakes, the Mississippi River is one of the country's most important inland waterways. On the Mississippi, small ships can go all the way from Minneapolis, Minnesota to the Gulf of Mexico. That is more than 1,800 miles, 2,897 kilometers. Large ships that sail the oceans can go up the Mississippi River as far as Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The Mississippi River and its tributaries form an important transportation route through America's heartland. Before the Mississippi River reaches Cairo, Illinois, the Missouri and Illinois rivers flow into it. Then, at Cairo, the Ohio River joins it. There, the Mississippi River is at its widest, almost 1 mile, 2 kilometers across. Downstream, it is joined by still other navigable rivers. Review. How is the Mississippi River important to transportation? Using river highways. Early America did not look like what you see out your window today. Thick forests and rugged mountains made it hard to travel by land. Even where there were roads, they were often just narrow, muddy paths. As you know, rivers carried early settlers inland from the Atlantic coast toward the Appalachian Mountains. After pioneers crossed those mountains, they used rivers on the other side to go even farther inland. The Ohio, Mississippi, and Missouri rivers became water highways for a huge westward migration. A migration is the movement of many people who leave one country or region to settle in another. After pioneers crossed the Appalachian Mountains, it was hard for them to get supplies. There were no rivers that directly linked them to the cities along the Atlantic coast. Supplies had to be carried over the mountains or in canoes up the Mississippi River from New Orleans. Pioneer families needed a way to carry a lot of supplies with them. When they reached the Ohio River at Pittsburgh, they often boarded flatboats. A flatboat was a large raft made of boards that were tied together. Flatboats could carry pioneer families and their things all the way from Pittsburgh to New Orleans or to any place in between. Flatboats were of different sizes. Some were as large as 20 feet, 6 meters wide, and 50 to 100 feet, 15 to 30 meters long. Flatboats were sometimes called arks. Like Noah's Ark in the Bible, they carried everything a family had. One person who traveled down a river on a flatboat in 1788 described it as pretty close crowded, having 27 men on board, 5 horses, 2 cows, 2 calves, 7 hogs, and 9 dogs, besides 8 tons of baggage. Flatboats were also used to carry manufactured goods downstream. The goods were sold in settlements built along the rivers. In 1826, Timothy Flint wrote about the goods from around the country that he saw aboard 100 flatboats that were crowded together at one port on the Mississippi River. From Kentucky are pork, flour, and bale rope. From Tennessee there are the same articles, together with great quantities of cotton. From Missouri and Illinois, cattle and horses, the same articles generally as from Ohio, together with peltry, furs, and lead from Missouri. Some boats are loaded with corn in the ear and in bulk, others with barrels of apples and potatoes. Flatboats floated downstream, but they could not go back upstream against the current. After their trip downstream, they were usually broken up and their lumber was sold. New Orleans had many sidewalks made from this wood. Review. How did pioneers who crossed the Appalachian Mountains use rivers? Biography. Samuel Clemens, 1835 to 1910. Samuel Clemens was a well-known American writer. He wrote many stories and books about the 2 years he piloted steamboats on the Mississippi River. His stories were often funny, but some made fun of important people. To keep from getting in trouble, he signed his stories with the name Mark Twain. The term Mark Twain was shouted out whenever the river was getting too shallow for a steamboat to pass safely. River travel changes. Keelboats soon joined flatboats on the rivers. Keelboats were pointed at both ends and sometimes used a sail. Unlike flatboats, they could be sailed or poled upstream. This meant that people and goods could be moved upstream as well as downstream. In the summer of 1807, there was a major change in river travel. Robert Fulton took the Clermont on its first trip up the Hudson River from New York City. The Clermont was the first money-making steamboat. It was powered by a steam engine that turned a large paddle wheel. As the paddle wheel turned in the water, it caused the steamboat to move. Just 13 years after the Clermont's first trip, steamboats were carrying passengers and goods on most of the country's navigable rivers. Many steamboats traveled on the Ohio and the Mississippi. With steamboats, river trips that had taken months took only a few days. The improved way of transportation led to more trade. Cities and industries along rivers grew rapidly. St. Louis, Missouri, and Cincinnati, Ohio, both became major river ports. Review: how did steamboats change river travel? Using rivers today. The Mississippi River system is just as important today in moving goods from one region of the country to another. Instead of steamboats, however, barges now carry most cargo. A barge is a large, flat-bottomed boat used on rivers and other inland waterways. Barges are a good way to move raw materials and other heavy goods. The Mississippi River alone carries more than half the freight transported on inland waterways in the United States. Barges on the Mississippi carry crops grown on farms in the Middle West. They carry coal from Appalachia and the southern Great Lakes states. They also carry petroleum and petrochemicals from the Gulf Coast. Large cities have grown up along the Mississippi River system to make use of its transportation routes. Many are centers for manufacturing, services, and transportation. One of these cities is St. Louis. It is about 10 miles, 16 kilometers, south of where the Missouri River joins the Mississippi. Because of its location, St. Louis is one of the busiest ports on the Mississippi River. It is also an important trucking and railroad center. Review: what carries most cargo up and down rivers today? Lesson 2 review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. Why is the Mississippi River such an important inland waterway? 2. Recall the main idea. What are some ways the Mississippi River system has been used as a transportation and trade route? Think critically. 3. Think more about it. What might happen to the price of food and other goods if the Mississippi River system could not be used? Show what you know. Simulation activity. Imagine that you and your family are pioneers. You are about to board a flatboat in Pittsburgh for a trip down the Ohio River to your new home in Illinois. You must choose 10 things to take. List in the order of their importance the 10 things you will take. Explain to classmates why these things are important.